Well, I pray that, first off, I want to thank Gus and the elders for an opportunity to preach today and bring in God's word. I pray that it strengthens you. I pray that it encourages you. I hope that you might see the way that God is moving in your life. And I pray that even today somebody might accept Jesus as their Savior, welcome Him into your heart for the forgiveness of all your sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit that we're going to talk about today. So I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I do want to start, and that intro was perfect, because I want to start by saying today, your expectation is more important than my presentation. So I'll say that again. The expectation that you have to hear God's word today is more important than the way I present it. And before you turn to your neighbor and say, Seth's setting the bar real low today. Okay, maybe that's a little bit of it. But listen, I'm going to try, okay? So I haven't done what you so per se called practice this presentation ahead of time, but I've got my bullet points up here. I'm going to try. I'm going to put some emotion in it. You know, I might try to strain my voice to get you to feel something. I might try a joke. If it doesn't go over, it was not a joke. I might throw in some alliteration, right? So some rhyming words like we just did there. So if I mix some poetry and prose from the pulpit people there, you might remember that. But at the end of it, if you're going to block the message today, it won't get in. If you won't focus and take a minute and hear God's word, it cannot affect you. Now, Isaiah 55 is very clear. God's word never comes back empty. Your neighbor might receive a blessing that you are blocking yourself. You're blocking your own blessing by not focusing on the message today as we get into it. So as we start, I want to jump right in to our core verse in Acts that Matt McLean, not Drew McLean, just read to us. Acts chapter 1, verses 8, if we could put that on the screen. But you, yes, you, Simon, whom I've renamed Peter, you, James and John, you, Andrew and Timothy, I see you over there, Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector. The world would not have chose you guys, but God did. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the main title of this sermon is Powering Up When Things Are Calmed Down. So how do we recharge between the storm we just came through and the next one we're going to face? But I actually added a subtitle to this sermon. So if you would, just for fun, because it brings me joy to see you guys say stuff out there, turn to your neighbor, your favorite neighbor, and give him my subheading here. Go ahead, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're going to have the power of the Spirit, but until then, look, you're not ready. Now go ahead and turn to the person on the other side, the one you really wanted to say, and just say, just flat out, say, look, you're not ready. Okay? You're not ready. You're not ready. And these guys, for as much as they would do for the kingdom and for God, without the Spirit of God, they were not ready, right? You ever see somebody get into a contest that clearly they are not ready for? If you'd have come watched either one of the two baseball games I coached yesterday, you might have said that about my squad, right? These kids are not ready. Sorry, Augie. But they needed that power first, and it was important because they were at a crossroad. These men, they were at a crossroad. Jesus went to the cross, and it shattered their expectation that the kingdom was going to be established here on earth. Remember, these were oppressed people. the Romans ruled them. They had no country of their own. They were captive in their own country. And they wanted over and over again that Jesus would free them from that on earth. And if you don't believe me, let's go back and look at those verses that Matt read. If you put that on the screen again, if we will. Acts 1, I just have 6 to 11. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? We want the Romans out of here. Are you going to establish this kingdom here on earth or not? We heard you in the Garden of Gethsemane when you said, look, I could call down 12 legions of angels and stop this crucifixion right now. It's awesome that you've been resurrected. We've been walking around with you for 40 days. But their first question is, are you going to restore the kingdom right now? And the response is kind of like that AT&T commercial with, have you seen the guy that goes to a just an okay tattoo guy? And he's sitting in the chair, right? And he's like, are you? He's kind of questioning the way he's doing it. And that guy just says, stay in your lane, bro. Right? Jesus is, now that guy obviously wasn't qualified. Jesus, the knower of all, basically tells his guys, stay in your lane. Don't you worry about when the judgment day comes. That's for the Father in heaven to know. You got your own problems ahead of you. There's a storm to be had, and you're going to need to be ready for it. He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Stay in your lane, bro. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go to heaven. And I wonder, had God not sent